Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the quick, fast, goofy, self-improvement podcast of awesome with a brand new intro.
I can't believe we have to redo the intro.
We lost our intro because we're not tech savvy here,
Dude, but we're cool. We did like that 14 years ago.
I know, man.
I don't even remember what the podcast is about
at this point. Anyways. Dogs Are Smarter Than People is the podcast that helps you live a happier, quirkier life. I'm Carrie Jones, a New York Times and internationally best-selling novelist, and the guy with me is actually married to me.
For how long, we don't know.
But not much longer.
It's been a good run.
But this is my co-host, Sean Farrar. Join us as we start off with a random thought about the weirdness of life, and then we segue beautifully and smoothly into
dog advice? Dog tips?
Life advice. You've got this. You've got it too. Hey, it's the podcast.
What's going on? Oh, why you sound so enthused this afternoon, love?
Because honestly, you're a little cranky baby.
And oh, I'm sorry.
And it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And you're not supposed to be cranky
on
Valentine's Day if you're married. Like, you're allowed to be cranky if you're anti-love. And you're allowed to be cranky on Valentine's Day if you think it's just a big commercialization of something true to spirit. But that's not you. You're just cranky.
Well, I don't disagree with the commercialization aspect of it. But it's still fine to celebrate it. I'm cranky because I've... didn't sleep last night. My shoulder still hurts like crazy.
This is what I call getting old.
It's an annoying, like, amount of pain. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, God, I need some oxys. It's more like, it's more like I'm real. It's like having a headache all day, you know? Not a migraine that knocks you down or whatever, but just an annoyance.
Happy Valentine's Day to us. Yeah. So anyways, in our anti-Valentine's Day podcast.
I told you not to leave me hanging in the swing so long last night, baby.
I just got that. All right, anyways, so in our anti-Valentine's Day podcast, we're going to talk about some weird mating rituals in our random thought.
Oh, and this
is from MSN.com.
Don't put any of mine in
here, okay? And apparently none of this should give us an explicit rating because there's not any on the article itself. So, giant pandas.
Yes.
They have a really hard time getting it on in captivity.
Oh, right? Why is that?
Because who the heck knows? Maybe they're a little uptight. Maybe they don't like it that people are watching. Maybe they don't like it that people are filming them. Maybe they just don't like each other, right? Maybe they're uptight like me. But... so, what they did, right?
Yes.
They found some footage of some giant pandas getting it on in the Barry White way. And so, apparently, the boys had a very tense standoff.
Yeah.
And then the younger boy went backwards, like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. But the lady, she's like, no, it's not time. I don't like what you two just did. And so, then the lady went down her tree. And the old guy was, like, still there. And she's like, I don't want to do you, Buster. So she ran away.
Yeah.
And so then the two guys chased her like panda stalkers for weeks.
That's crazy.
Weeks. And they growled at each other and growled at each other until one guy was like, all right. Yeah, you're right. I am too old to do it. You go up for it, younger guy. And so the younger guy, who apparently had a little bit more endurance, got to meet with her because she was finally ready.
Lucky young guy.
And according to MSN...
he comes out with MILF.
According to MSN, it's possible that this prolonged male rivalry, including the female hostage-taking, triggers female ovulation.
Oh, wow.
And that might be why
kinky bears,
panda bears, giant panda bears don't get it on in captivity because there's no male competition.
Mm. So the females are kind of in the BDSM is what you're saying.
Apparently yeah. Giant pandas are females and males, but much worse is the giraffe.
What?
According to MSN, quote, male giraffes have to taste a lot of pee before they can do the deed.
Well, some are into that too.
Because that's the only way they can tell if the lady is fertile and if their deed is gonna actually make some babies.
They don't wanna waste their time, bro.
They are the opposite of you. Yeah. They're like, no, we can practice. Let's practice again. We'll keep practicing.
I'll tell you what, the old saying is definitely true in the bedroom. Practice does not make perfect.
We have so many, it makes it better sometimes, maybe. Or boredom for some people.
Creates injuries. Like,
creates injuries. What is wrong?
Your sex partner roster just shrunk down to zero because I'm on the injured reserve.
All right, so sea slugs apparently have male and female sex organs, which seems...
Oh, they lack for nothing.
So convenient. And so when pairs come together, they stab each other right between the eyes with their penile stylet, which is, according to MSN, a, quote, needle-like appendage. Oh. And then it delivers, quote, a cocktail of prostate fluid. He's like, here, let me stab you in the eye. Woo, fluid.
Maybe we should try that.
No.
No?
I don't like stabbing.
Some sedative?
Nope.
I'll just get you in the hip, the thigh, where it's nice and meaty there.
Okay, so finally.
Finally? We're done already?
Well, I can't. I mean, this could go on for hours and hours and hours. But let's talk about the wonderful and beautiful male porcupine.
That's what I wanted to know, actually.
Where a lot of human males could potentially learn from them. So here we go. Ready? Are you ready?
I was just thinking, if you ever were into
he's not ready.
Lack of body hair, it would be a male porcupine.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
The male northern porcupines must go to great lengths to secure the affections of females, which only go into estrus once a year for 8 to 12 hours.
Holy crap.
Right?
Those males are lucky.
Prior to ovulating, the female secretes a fragrant, to a porcupine, vaginal mucus.
Oh, I bet it smells delicious.
That lures males closer.
God, it must reek.
The lucky male that finds her and manages to chase away any rivals stimulates ovulation by drenching her in an explosive jet of urine, described as, quote, a high-speed projectile, end quote, by porcupine expert Aldrus Rose, who wrote a book about it called The North American Porcupine.
So there's a lot of animals that are into water sports.
So much water sports. Happy Valentine's Day!
Drugging, non-consensual sex.
Hostage-taking.
Wow, they like their role-playing, dude.
Yep. Okay, so since it's Valentine's Day, this podcast is about how all you need is love is bullshit.
Oh, you cussed. You gave us one of those censored warning. What is it called? Advisory?
I don't know, maybe.
Parental advisory?
Parental.
All you need is love. That's not true.
Exactly, but we all believe it. And then there's so much pressure about Valentine's Day, right? Pressure that you should feel. But they're only Sean. The rest of you are fine. But like, there's pressure. Like, you should have a love and you should make a card and you should have to have a social media post. And like, oh, put your profile picture of the two of you together.
It's only just, amateurs profess their loves blah, on social blah, media. Blah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's like just this pressure to be in a romantic relationship, which really sucks if you're not in one, if you want to be in one and you're not in one, but also if you're just not in a romance. There's a ton of people who are aromantic, right? They're not into it, man.
Don't need it. Just the love in.
When there are people who are not into the love in either.
I know.
But like ever since that Beatles song and Hallmark card, we kind of have commercialized and we make a lot of money off of love. Right? But to be actually healthy, we have to be actually healthy. And being actually healthy is more than just being like, oh, I love you. Do you know what I mean?
No. I'm just kidding. Of course, I know what you mean.
So these two people, and we'll have the link in the podcast notes, Linda and Charlie Bloom wrote for, they're a couple. They wrote for Psychology Today, and apparently they must be in love because they wrote this together, right?
This was the impetus for their divorce.
I can't focus when you say funny things. Oh. All right. So basically, they're like, it's not easy to be in love, right?
Yes.
You have to do the work to be in love. But also, like, there's a way to work it better kind of stuff, you know? Like, they say, quote, actually, they quote the great poet Rainer Maria Rilke. Saying, "What for one human being to love another, that is perhaps the most difficult of all our tasks. The ultimate, the last test and proof, the work for which all other work is but preparation." So they're saying that love's not the easiest thing to do. They're saying love's the hardest thing to do. And I don't know if that's true, but it's interesting.
It might be the hardest thing to maintain.
Maybe. Wait, what's that mean? How long have we been married now?
I don't know. Not nearly long enough.
To maintain it? Or to worry about maintaining
it? You worry about it.
You're not worried about it? We passed the 7-year itch.
Not on my end.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, that's good. So... He's right. It's easy to feel loving feelings towards someone, particularly when we find them physically attractive and fun to be with and funny and charming and sweet-smelling, and especially if they laugh at our jokes. But having a strong attraction toward or desire for another person isn't necessarily love. But it's easy to confuse the two.
I wasn't commenting. I was waiting for you to get a little more into this definition because... You know, I can find a fault with anybody giving their own definition of what love is.
And I love that about you. So anyways, they write, "It asks or demands that we put our own desires and preferences aside and replace them with a desire that, like, to serve the desires of our partner. Not always, but probably more than any of us really want to."
I consider that to be a true statement.
Says the man who does all the laundry in the house.
Maybe that's why my shoulders hurt.
Because so you've been doing so much laundry?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Maybe.
Jeez.
It's not the swing over the bed. It's the laundry.
It's a combo.
But love, they say, requires us to be, quote, willing to be wrong and to resist the temptation to blame the other person all the damn time.
Mm-hmm. That's also important.
And that's really hard, right?
It is.
It's really, really hard. You know what Shawnee
does? You're acting like I blame you for things. I was thinking more backwards on this one here. But anyways, what do I do?
That's really mean.
No, you're just about to tell the world what I do. What is it?
When we argue... You just say, "It's on me. I'm wrong. Everything I do is wrong.
See, I'm willing to blame be wrong. Me."
No, because that's like a hyperbolic end of discussion BS drama response.
That's because there never is an end of discussion if I try to tell you that you're wrong.
But it's not supposed to be about wrong. That's the whole point. Like, you're not getting... Right?
It says you must be willing to be wrong.
Well, they're wrong with that.
It's a requirement, according to these people.
No, it's not about being wrong. It's about understanding, I think. Like, understanding where the other person's coming from and being and loving them and wanting your relationship to matter so much that you don't have to entrench into your insecurity and just be like, "I'm not wrong, I'm not wrong, I'm not wrong, you're wrong,
right.
I'm wrong, I'm perfect." Like, you don't have to be perfect to be loved. And I think that's the thing nobody gets.
Right.
Because none of us are perfect. Right. And yet we are loved. And that is, like, so hard to get through to everybody.
A lot of people, yes.
Including the puppy. So what they're saying is that love requires us to experience more lessons in humility than most of us want to. Because we want to be perfect, I think it's basically. And they also say, and this is again a quote, "It requires us to restrain ourselves when we feel the impulse to say or do something that would gratify our ego at the expense of our beloved's happiness. Like making jokes at their expense.
Or like somebody walks into the room and says, hey, yeah, I did this. And you're like, oh, yeah, I did that a long time. I got that a long time ago.
What you talking about? Did I just do that to you? Sorry.
No, not just.
Wow, you're a grudge holder.
This was on... When did we go to trivia? Oh my. Last Wednesday.
You are a grudge. Love is not holding a grudge.
I'm not holding a grudge. I'm not faulting you
for it. Oh my gosh.
Just saying that it happened.
What did I say? I knew something that you were acting like was brand new?
No, I got an answer and you're like, oh yeah. No, oh, that's awesome, baby. Oh. I did have it already. I would have even accepted that rather than, yeah, I already got that.
Dude, I gave on. You so much. Like,
I only answered like one question, so don't pretend like you gave me so many accolades.
Welcome to our marriage.
At least I'm honest.
Welcome to
our marriage. I'm not a trivia master.
Trivia's dumb.
All pop all right. culture.
All right, so then I have totally lost what I was trying to say. Like, here, they just said, like, basically their whole point is, like, love isn't going to... It's
about sacrifice.
It's not going to make all the difficulties in your life go away, but it will help you navigate the crap that happens and also give you a source of heat at night. But it's, like, a very practical thing if you think about it. Love and companionship and friendship and that goodwill and the happiness and well-being, like, it makes you healthier. It usually extends your life. It's like a way of feeling that's positive for the emotions and the neurochemicals and all those things are happening in your body, right? Right?
Well, it definitely makes your psyche feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's so important, right? And yes. It doesn't have to be the sexy love. It can be the companion love.
No,
it can
the
be
sexy the platonic love is the easy part.
Right.
The real love, by whatever definition you have, is the more challenging part for sure.
Right. But there are other skills that you need to make love work. And those are dealing with the differences, they say, right? Because mm-hmm. there are differences. And Shani and I can be the perfect example of all of that.
Yes.
Patience is really important for maintaining love and happiness. And the ability to really listen, they say, and to, quote, resist the temptation to interrupt or correct your partner when, in your opinion, she doesn't know what she's talking about, end quote.
I feel really biased about that sentence because it says she. They should have made that they, for sure.
Self-acceptance.
I mean, I'm really guilty of that.
You are so guilty.
Of interrupting. But still, in today's world, that definitely should have been a they.
Compassion, integrity, courage, vision, trust, and trustworthiness. And then they say, and last but definitely not least, a good sense of humor because love is too important to be taken seriously.
That's what I've been telling you.
Oh, they're so clever.
All these years.
Yeah, man.
And you're always telling me my humor sucks.
But the point is that love isn't all you need to get by. Love is just a component of a relationship. And it's not the only part of the relationship.
Oh, I'm sure there's millions of relationships out there that don't really even have any love, and they work great.
Love can inspire you mm-hmm. to be more patient or be more forgiving or not interrupt quite as much. But the point is that all those other things also help make your love more solid. Those other traits, right?
Yes, that
he's
was correct.
Looking off in the distance.
No, I was making sure. I was giving you a 3-second. a 3-second bump to make sure you were done so I didn't interrupt you again. just a little hint for all you lovebirds out there.
Do you think the giant pandas do that?
Might be struggling. Give them 2 to 3 seconds to make sure they're done talking and have completed their thought. The giant pandas?
Yeah.
What?
Do they think they interrupt each other?
Well, no. They don't talk.
They growl.
Yeah.
They grunt.
Well,
they growl and grunt. Kind of like us.
When you're growling and grunting, there is no interruption. This is everything goes. Dog tip for life.
So Sparty and Pogi both told me this, right?
Oh, really?
Yes. And they said that for doggies, love is not about digging in and demanding that you're right and holding forever grudges and making jokes at the other dog's expense, although that is occasionally funny. But usually the other dog laughs about it too. And that's why dogs are amazing, because it's not about their own ego, usually. Right. It's usually just about love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really lovely, you know?
Yeah.
So be patient, be kind, wait till your owner gives you a treat.
They're definitely
be grateful for good the treat. With the
forgiveness.
Be excited when they come to the door.
The dogs?
Yeah.
Jeez.
You know, like...
They're definitely... Well, this young one is.
When Shawnee comes home, even if he's gone for like a minute, Pogi, our puppy, will be like, oh, 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 oh. And it's, I swear, it's like they're like, I love you, I love you, I love you so much.
She does oh it my to God. You too.
I love you so much, I love you so much. And then we have to have a group hug.
Yes.
In which Pogi stands up on her legs and hugs.
It's really sweet, but it doesn't adorable. Have to last for 10 minutes.
And it lasts a long, long time. Jesus. The love. You gotta appreciate the love when it's there, mister.
I know. Hopefully, as she gets older, her capacity for that intense loving will decrease. But
no!
Just by time frame. Like, still the same excitement.
From 10 minutes to only like two.
2 or 3 minutes, yeah. I mean, give me a chance to get my shoes off. The worst is like when you pull in the driveway and you're like, man, I gotta really pee. The first thing I do to get in that door is pee.
And there's Pogi.
Yep.
Hello! Let's love each other. Pogi wouldn't mind mating like a giraffe, I don't think. But there we go.
Oh, well. The she did get peed on this morning.
So. Too much of by me.
Not another dog. All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog, and it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new
amazing creepy podcast is Dude No. It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast,
Loving the Strange,
which we stream live
on Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. The end. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.